This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
You know what?
We're going to talk about it on the show.
We better talk about it on the show that's starting right now.
What's up, guys? Welcome to the first ever episode 238 of the Kinda Funny Games Cast. As always, I'm Tim Geddes, joined by one of the coolest dudes in video games on his fifth show of the day, it feels like.
Yeah, that's all right.
Greg Miller. All right.
Hey, I thought we were getting rid of the numbers eventually, or was that something you wanted to do?
Oh, that was just a discussion.
I like them.
Yeah. Well, then I guess they fucking stay.
Wow. Wow.
I got no say in the matter because FM3 underscore.
He's back. Back from Dallas, you guys hosted the Borderlands event. We all thought you were stuck there.
Yep.
All right, that honk is really upset at Fran being
here. A
lot
of delays, but I'm back. Happy to be back on the show. Happy to have you back. The last show I was on. Yeah. You weren't here?
Yeah, no, I have glasses. Great.
They look none
great,
of us were here.
Nice glasses.
Yeah, last week, none of us were, but the year before that.
Thank you. Shout out to all the ex-Game Informers for hosting.
Yes.
Killing the game. Great job. Positive great job. Reaction to all of that.
It was really good.
I heard it was so good, they just said, get us off the show.
There were a few of those YouTube comments. Yeah. Man, this is so much better. It's interesting when you hear somebody who actually knows games. Like, fuck. Yeah, this is my fear.
They're all from the Bronx.
And speaking of people that know games, for her very last time here, Andrea, Renee, how are you doing?
What's good, guys? What's good?
The last... of maybe
the last
Frandria.
Of normal appearances.
Correct. I feel
like as a regular.
Now you're going to go back to how you used to be on Kinda Funny Games Cast, where like you're still the most common guest.
You only show up on Easter with baskets.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
I'll be here next April.
Yeah.
What?
For Easter.
Okay, that's way
so
scarier.
So we had a tradition where coincidentally they kept inviting me back to be on the show. And it was always the show before Easter weekend, and so I would bring these dumb-themed Easter baskets. And this year, I went to go find one, and I just could not find a dumb-themed one. So
they
I brought,
gave up on Easter this year.
So I, yeah, so done. I got practical Easter gifts, like new sponges for the kitchen.
Which was very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, Fanny, maybe you should think about bringing this stuff. Huh?
Maybe you should know that sponges get gross after a while. Just get rid of them, because she had to bring in gifts.
Trust me, if somebody goes over there and if I see the sponge gross, I'll throw it away. If it's got that sponge smell, you toss it in the microwave for one
this
minute.
This is the Kinda Funny Games Cast each and every week right here on youtube.com/kindafunnygames. We talk about video games, all the things that we love about them, and we do that with you. You can be part of the show by being a Patreon supporter on patreon.com/kindafunnygames. You can get the show ad-free. You can get the pre and post shows that are exclusive to the Patreon people. You can watch live along with us. Or if you don't want to do any of that, that's fine. You can watch it later on Monday. YouTube.com/kindafunnygames, roosterteeth.com, podcast services. Where, Greg?
Around the globe.
Exactly. Thank you very much for that. Shout out to our Patreon producers, Tom Bach and James Hastings.
Mind
make this show happen. Thanks for that, Greg.
I only get to do it once usually. I never get to do it.
Yeah.
I know it's not, but I miss doing it.
You gotta love it. You gotta love it. You
I
know what else
Tom
you gotta
Bach.
Love? Final Fantasy VII Remake. Now, here's the thing. The trailer came out today, the day of recording.
As of recording.
For TGS. They did
thank
the whole
God you're here.
News coming from TGS.
Andrea looked at the rundown on the Roper before. She's like, we're not going to talk about the trailer? I'm like, do you understand it? I don't.
Yeah. There's a lot there. But we also want to talk about Final Fantasy VII Remake because you got to play it for the first time, Greg.
That's right. I got to play the Pizza Hut demo you and Kevin are always talking about.
Yes,
I fought the giant scorpion or whatever.
Yeah. And,
it's a good game.
So... just starting there, actually, you played it at PAX.
Went to PAX, yeah. Surprisingly, since I missed last Gamescast because of the Game Informer takeover, I didn't get to talk about the games that I played at PAX. Got to go play it along with Trials of Mana and Avengers.
Okay.
But yeah.
You texted me just saying, I beat the Pizza Hut Scorpion.
Yeah, what
and
a
I was
Pizza
like,
Hut Scorpion?
I'm not wrong, though, right?
And
that's
I was like,
Kevin, am I wrong?
What the fuck are you talking about? And I was so confused. And after like going back and forth and back and forth, I'm like, oh, you mean the Pizza Hut demo disc that had the Final Fantasy VII demo that ended with the Scorpion boss?
Yes, that's
I'm
how
like,
you guys talked about it on this show. You guys talked about it that way.
So there you go. What did you think?
I liked it. Yeah.
You never played 7?
No. Well, I've started 7 several times and never gotten far into it or anything. So I have no attachment to it. I have no reference outside of pop culture for what, you know, 7's all about. And like, it doesn't have a special place in my heart. That said... playing it, I thought it was beautiful, number one. I thought the combat system was interesting. That was my biggest thing of like, how is it going? You know, I'm such a weird guy of like, and I know this isn't turn-based, but it kind of is turn-based, and there is the action part, and then you got the, you're shooting with the, you know, I'm shooting with my gun over here. I'm Barrett. I'm shooting with my gun. I enjoyed it. Yeah, I mean, it's echoing everything you said when we, you played it at E3 and did way more coverage on it, right? But yeah, I am interested. I want to play more. I could see myself playing this.
Do you think it was the system was cumbersome at all? Is that what you were worried about?
Yeah, I mean, when you go back to like what a, I mean, again, I know this isn't what it is, but like remembering old Final Fantasy VII, right? Yeah, exactly. The Mickey Mouse hand coming through, picking things and stuff. Like, never my jam, really, right? Like, it's a very specific JRPG like that that grabs me, whether it be Octopath or a Persona. And so not having that historical connection to it, jumping into it, I was like, I don't know what I'm getting into. And I thought it was modernized enough that I could see myself playing it and enjoying it and going through it.
I mean, it's very different. Like, I feel like even being familiar, I think actually is more of a hindrance than just going in. Because even the turn-based stuff that kind of is there, it's not
the
even
slow down where like goes slow down.
That's totally different than the original. Like, it's not even...
Yeah, it's based on the moments from the game, but the game is completely new, is how I would describe it.
Yeah.
Like, from a gameplay perspective. Like,
and from a story and look totally and every different. Perspective, and that's what I'm excited about, is seeing this trailer. Like, I've been excited about this game since they first announced it. Then I got really worried about the game with the whole CyberConnect and, like...
CyberConnect.
The director or producer didn't even know they were... involved and all that, like all these rumors, so much mistranslations through Japanese to English stuff that it's just like, oh man, this is going to be a big problem. But then when we really got that first blowout at E3 this year, and right before that we saw the State of Play, but even that was just like, okay, cool, just another trailer. But then at E3 it's like, oh, we got to play it, we get to see a lot more of it. I'm like, how are they nailing it this hard? Like, I'm really kind of surprised at seeing this trailer, which shows a lot more than what we've seen so far.
Did you think that they were going to screw it up?
Yeah.
It's
Square. It's modern Square.
Canceled so many Final Fantasies.
So many similar people that have worked on Kingdom Hearts 3, and that like it just took too long that the end product was fine, good, really good in some ways, really kind of a letdown in others. And when I'm looking at Final Fantasy VII Remake, I just wouldn't have faith in them kind of doing a good job with it. And I keep saying this, I said this a lot during E3, but now seeing this trailer, I feel it's going to be even more true, is that this reminds me of Resident Evil 2 Remake so much, where it's not just a remake of the original game, it's inspired by the original game, but to be a modern game, and they're going to change things both from a gameplay perspective, but from a story perspective, to make things make more sense, make them more modern and feel natural.
In this trailer, what gave you that impression? Like, because I watched it and I was like, it's beautiful, this guy with red hair seems like he move really fast. Like, what about it to you was like, oh, this is the next step, this is what they're doing?
So it's... and this is, you'd have to know the games to know stuff. There's the addition of characters in places they weren't before. There's new characters that we don't know exactly who they are, but if they are who I think they are, it's going to be really, really cool and interesting to see how they flesh out the story between Cloud and Zack. And like, it kind of answers a lot of questions that fans have had of like, why didn't these people react this way when they saw this person? And it's like, seeing these new characters, you're like, oh my God, like they're going to answer that question.
Interesting.
And I just felt like that's the type of stuff that would have never happened before.
Okay.
And I just didn't have really a lot of confidence in Square doing that, especially after Final Fantasy 15, which I loved, but I didn't love the story. And seeing all the stuff here, I'm like, oh my God, they're taking all the best parts of Final Fantasy 7 and really expanding on it in ways that I think is going to come together potentially better than the original game did.
Interesting. Story-wise. Interesting.
There's still all the worries about the episodic stuff and all of that.
That was my question for you. You talked about how, oh, you had a glance, and if you know the game, you know this. Where are you feeling right now they're going to cut it off? We did have a question on Games Daily today, Andrea's Final One. Watch it, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. About, like, hey, do you think people are going to lose their minds if this is less than 20 hours? And Andrea and I were kind of blind on what it would actually be. We talked about endgame stuff. You're wrong, wrote in to be like, to be clear, they're talking about 30 hours a game. They're talking this is like a Final Fantasy 13 trilogy.
Yeah, no, and I think that that's what it's going to be. I think it's very, very clear where this game's going to end. I think
where do you think it ends?
Already even said it with the fall of Midgar,
okay,
like, or with the plate falling. Like, totally. Like, that's it's such a good place to end the story.
Traditionally, how long into the game is that?
I mean, it's been a while since I've done it, like, I don't know, probably 10, 13 hours, but
they've been promoting that they've added
a bunch of content.
Oh, no, I know that.
Yeah, I was just wondering by comparison.
Well, and that's the thing is, this trailer is what shows me they've added a bunch of content. Like, even in areas that we know, they are adding so much. There's the scene in the trailer where you see the Shinra president, like, the drones come in and, like, main thing. The things that he's saying are talking about, like, the Wutai Forest or whatever. That's stuff, like, that's side quest stuff way later in the game. And for them to introduce it this early, it's like, oh my God, you're going to flesh that out. You're going to flesh out the story, make it make more sense and more interesting when you come across those characters later in game two, game three, whatever this ends up being. But to me, the coolest thing is, like, this reminds me of Twin Snakes to Metal Gear Solid, where they're adding a whole bunch of crazy, like, flippy dippity stuff and all that. Ooh, and, like, fleshing out the story in ways. And, like, but where Metal Gear, I think a lot of people didn't like that kind of stuff because it's like, well, that's not what Metal Gear Solid 1 was.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy 7, all the stuff that they're adding, that's what this game was. It just wasn't the technology to do.
Yeah, it's the stuff you filled in your head.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's like, looking at this, this looks like when Advent Children came out, the movie, it was so hyped to see these characters move in ways that they moved in your head.
Sure.
Doing things that were anime as fuck, so cool that you only saw in your head, but now you get to play it, and it looks even better than that movie did. Like, that stuff is just blowing my mind, and, like, the way that this trailer was so pointed at the detractors and haters that were, like, worried about this game. Like, oh, they're going to take out the cross-dressing thing. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. They're not. This trailer was straight up like, hey, all your favorite minigames, they're going to be in this.
I saw the in the gym or whatever.
The squats and all that stuff. Like, oh, they're going to take out the quirky stuff. The frog spell still in the game, and you actually turn into a frog.
Yeah, I thought that was,
like,
a cool moment in the
trailer. They're going so hard to be like, no, guys, like, we know what we're doing. We know that Final Fantasy VII is as important as it is, and we're going to nail this. We're going to do it right. And Mark Hamill might be a voice actor in it.
Oh, really?
Like, that's
weird. I
didn't
catch that.
Yeah, the dude that runs the little brothel during the, like, there's a line that he has. I'm like, that straight up sounds like Mark Hamill.
Does he sound like the Joker then?
Yeah, exactly.
The or Joker. The Darksiders, whatever the character
anyways,
is.
Anyways, I'm so stoked on that. What did it do for you, Andrea?
I thought it looked great.
Are you going to try it?
Not a huge Final Fantasy fan.
No, I never have been, and I've never pretended to be. It's like, Final Fantasy has just never been my thing, and I feel like, you know, I dabbled in Final Fantasy 15 since it was real time and third person action versus all the other ones which have been, like, turn based. And so I played a little bit of that and I enjoyed what I did. But the problem when you have a series that's this far into it is that, like, there's no easy way for me to get caught up in who these characters are and why they're important, why people love them. And I've just never really gravitated towards anime of any kind or anime art styles. And so I just feel like there's nothing drawing me to this, but I can appreciate what they're doing with it. I can appreciate the amazing graphics work, the additional narrative work, the way that they're modernizing the combat. But there's nothing that's, like, grabbing me about
that
this
game. That was my thing. I mean, Dangerous point of, you know, so it's that thing of, obviously, every Final Fantasy is known, but Final Fantasy VII, like, you know, this one reference in a trailer, right? The trailer does nothing for me. It was you coming back from playing it that first time. You're like, dude. So when I went and played it, I was like, cool, it plays. It still has that weird... Not weird, I should say. It has that stilted Japanese game feel of, like, you know, you're running around, there's guys just standing there, and I run up to them, and then then they start engaging me kind of thing, which I'm not in love with, right? You know what I mean? But though I know how beloved the story is, and the fact that you're even more juiced for it, seeing what you've seen. And then the fact that, like, the boss battles I thought were awesome.
Oh, my God. They're so good. And speaking of the boss battles, the music... Mm. Everything that they've shown in the trailer so far has been great, but this trailer in particular is showing how much they're caring about this project, where this was a brand new arrangement, brand new remix, that as you're watching the trailer, anytime characters show up, their themes kind of start playing in this new arrangement. Like, when it gets to towards the end, it's a remix of the boss theme, and it's perfect and epic. When you see the redhead dude come in, it's like the Turks theme starts playing, and it's just like... Holy crap, like, it was just perfectly executed. And, like, I haven't seen anybody see this trailer that, like, gives a shit.
Peggy.
That is like, oh, you did this wrong. Like, everyone's just like, what the fuck? How did they nail this?
Yeah.
Very cool stuff.
I'm super stoked for it. Yeah, I was a big fan of the original, but, like, I haven't really played since then. Like, yeah, I'm like, how do you remember all this stuff? But I guess, like,
he plays
you play
it
again.
I've been replaying it recently.
Replayed it.
The E3 demo got me so hyped.
Yeah, but, I think if you're just not a fan of this combat style and the style of the game, like, sure, it's not going to pique your interest, but for those who are, I mean, it looks
the
amazing.
The fact that it's a modernized, like, take, for me, it's very much, it is an RE2 remake thing, right?
I think you're going to love this game.
I always said that I should have been Resident Evil's biggest fan, but it was the tank controls and fucking shitty map that turned me off. So when RE2 dropped, right, I was like, holy shit, this is amazing.
That's the apt comparison that I really, really believe that you're going to love this game when it comes out. But another E3 thing that I got to see, I didn't get to play. So we're like trading spaces here a little bit. Avengers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you didn't play Avengers? I thought you did. Nope. You saw behind closed doors. Yeah, at PAX, got to finally play Avengers after seeing the trailer. Nobody knows what the game is. Tim going to see the game and then telling me more about the game. Finally getting down to actually hold the controller and play.
Internet leaks as well that showed some of the gameplay. People didn't understand, and they're trying to judge it based on that. So I can't.
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about the E3 leak.
Yeah, I think it was the E3.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, because they released gameplay from Gamescom.
Since then, yeah, they've done the gameplay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true.
And so what I played was that. It was the prologue. It was A-Day where everything goes wrong. So I got to play as everybody. Iron Man, Hulk, Captain America, Black Widow, and Thor. I think it's that's why I don't want to spend too much time on it, right? Because it was a PAX demo of something that everybody's seen.
But you played it, though.
I did. But so I still think you've heard enough hands-on impressions that
PAX?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's that the hands-on impressions you've heard from everybody else.
Yeah, but what did you think?
I thought,
was it cool? Did you like it?
I liked it.
Feel good?
I don't love it. Certain things feel better than other things, right? It is the exact same thing we worried about, right? Of throw Mjolnir, Mjolnir comes back, doesn't feel good as Leviathan. However, throw Mjolnir and I've like stuck a guy to the wall. That's pretty cool. All right, yeah. You know what I mean? I pull it back. It's like it is this game's. Cross to Bear is being compared to Spider-Man, Batman, you name it, Lara Croft, the Tomb Raider reboot, right?
Comparing it to good games.
Comparing it to great games. Yes. And I think in many ways, genre-defining games. Games that like excelled in so many different ways. Playing it right now, going through it, for me to come back and tell you what it excelled at, like what it blew my socks off, is like, that's a struggle for me to come up and tell you what that is. I think the voice acting's great. I think the story they're telling from this, you know, jumping off point and then 5 years later after A-Day and, you know, Avengers have been disassembled. What does it look like? I'm interested for that world. I'm interested to see how multiplayer works. This is just a single player prologue. It was very awesome to get the demo. Do you remember the man's name, the game director?
Scott Amos.
Scott, who was there giving it through.
It's the head of Crystal.
It was very much a demo of, hey, we know we fucked this up. So you're playing this thing right now. It's the prologue. It is, we played what, 20 minutes, 30 minutes of it?
It's probably roughly, like 35 minutes like total for that whole thing from what we've seen.
They were like, it is a sampler platter of everybody you will play when you get the game. After you do your 20, 30 minutes, you are going to come around this divider and we are going to talk to you for 20 or 30 minutes and explain what the fuck this game is from the ground up. And I found that super interesting. And in terms of what does it excel at? I don't know. I found what they said on the other side of the wall interesting. Like you're getting the, you know, how it's been this whole thing of it's a single player story. You can also play it with people. Well, what the fuck does that mean, right?
Yeah.
And so it is this idea that you play through the prologue, everything goes wrong, Cap dies, San Francisco is destroyed, Avengers are disassembled. You pick back up then 5 years later, you are reassembling the team, playing as everybody, getting them on. As you continue to play, you're unlocking more story missions. You have like this overworld map. You're in a helicarrier pretty much, right? With the overworld there, you can go do stuff. There are missions that are very much like this is a single player mission for the story, but then surrounding it are a bunch of, what do they call them? Warzone map?
Mm-hmm. Warzone missions. Yeah. So I took a bunch of notes during Scott's presentation. Yeah. So there's hero missions, which are the single player crafted narrative experiences where you don't get to choose which hero you want. Mm-hmm. And then there's the warzone missions, which are the co-op ones where you get to pick which hero you want. On a level. So each of the heroes has their own skill tree that is custom tailored to the lore of that particular hero, whether it be Hulk or, you know, Black Widow or whoever. And then there's progression that carries between the Warzone and the hero mission. So if you decide you want to main Thor, the progression that you make in the Warzone missions will carry into your hero mission, and the enemies will dynamically scale to how you've progressed your hero in the other missions, in the story missions, so you don't feel like you're stepping backwards.
That actually sounds kind of cool.
Yeah. I mean, like, this is the thing, right? Like, my note here after playing everybody, right? Iron Man I thought was weak.
Iron Man's was, like, so disappointing.
Thor was fun, but not Leviathan fun. I like Nat. I like Black Widow, but I thought the Taskmaster fight was fun in the beginning, and then I thought they really struggled with signposting, where suddenly it was like, oh, you've learned all my moves, so I'm rolling and I'm shooting, and occasionally I'm hurting you, occasionally I'm not. I'm like, I don't know exactly what you want. I thought it was generic Hulk, but it's still fun to be the Hulk, right? And so it's like, I like it, but it's not amazing, is literally what I wrote.
So watching the demo, which I've now seen a couple times, saw it at Comic-Con, saw it at E3, when you see the five characters go and kind of do their thing, when you see the HUD of the display that you see just watching it,
yeah,
it seems very simplified combat where it kind of just seems like a three button system of each character just has the three moves and there's nothing else and they're all kind of just context sensitive. Does it feel more kind of organic than that when you're playing it?
It does. The HUD is not final, and so I think that's why it's like seems super simplified. We didn't also get to see. They didn't show us the skill tree. They didn't let us really tool around in the menus.
That's my biggest thing about it is, again, prologue sampler platter. I think here's what our Black Widow base is.
Yeah, it felt like we were just playing like a tutorial. It didn't feel like we were playing like a vertical slice of the game.
100%.
And so like it was very like a tailored experience. I had more fun with Thor and Mjolnir than apparently
I liked it. No, I liked him. He's one of my favorites. It was just like, it wasn't, you know, like, oh, you want to feel great.
I wanted to see more of Thor's aerial gameplay, but they were like not really showing us that yet. And when they were describing some of the cool stuff that you can do with Iron Man, I was like, why didn't you let me play that? Because like, just like shooting with the pulses, it just didn't feel satisfying. It felt super slow. And I was like, the flight, in-flight stuff didn't feel super refined either, but I had to keep reminding myself that this is a super early pre-alpha build, right?
And like, more importantly, I think, is that it's the prologue. They're trying to be like, here's all the taste, and then when they get to 5 years later, and however they're going to introduce the story to you, you're not going to have access to everybody. So that's when you start building these things out. And I think that's why it's so weird of like, what did the combat feel like? To me, especially coming off, it felt like an Ultimate Alliance brought down, put behind the character. Mm. I don't think that's what this game is, but with the limited availability of moves I had, I don't have a skill tree. Okay, but it's to what you're talking about, right? It was that he was talking about, oh yeah, well, you know, like Riley's Iron Man plays a lot different than my Iron Man. I like to go up in the air and shoot from down low. He likes to play there. You're not going to get that in the prologue. And that's where it gets interesting of like, I don't know if it'll excel at this, but when it does get that, cool, training wheels are off, the roster is yours, build the team the way you want to build it to get to the end game stuff, which you assume is what this game's building towards, right? That it's going to have its same idea of like, it's a Destiny, it's a Borderlands in terms of like, you're getting there to play with your friends and do other stuff and see what, you know, I main Thor, Tim mains Cap. Let's see what this actually looks like when we get out there.
It's going to be interesting how it all comes together, because I think their biggest challenge right now, particularly from a shared world or co-op perspective, is that, you know, when we spoke at E3, Bill Roseman told me, you know, our problem is that we can't really build a world where there's four Hulks running around, because there's only one Hulk, right? There's only one Black Widow. And so how they're going to handle that from a co-op perspective will be fascinating. If you guys remember in Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
Got to choose a class, basically.
Did you guys do any of the co-op in Shadow of the Tomb Raider?
No.
So when you play co-op, you always appear as Lara Croft, and your co-op partner always appears as another NPC in the game or another character.
Yeah. So it's not to break the reality.
Right, but you always get to see the character you chose, and I wonder if they're going to also implement that here.
I specifically asked, like, hey,
think it would work because the movesets.
Can we both have Thors? And they were like, no, you have to choose from rosters you have, and once somebody takes Thor, there is no Thor. Mm. Now, again, as they said.
Overwatch, kind of.
Yeah.
No, you can have multiples.
I don't play Overwatch, I'm going to tell you.
But I thought the same thing. The concept's there. Like, you got to choose like a class, but still.
To Tim's point, though, about multiverse, right? They've been putting up these videos, right, of all the different costumes for different characters. They've talked about how they fully plan on going for years or a year with free content or whatever the actual line is. I guarantee at some point there's going to be the update of like, we've dropped.
There's a rift in the universe.
Exactly. We've dropped whatever Hulk from Planet Hulk in here, and that means there are going to be multiple Hulks. There's a multiverse kind of thing, and you get to go out and do it.
Yeah. I understand. So, you know, I kind of get into it with Imran about this on Games Daily earlier this week.
Trash.
Because like, I understand why people are hesitant and skeptical. I mean, it's Avengers. Like, the bar is set incredibly high by the MCU for this to perform, right? And Ultimate Alliance did great. It seems like people really love that game, that they nailed it. And so there's a lot riding on Crystal Dynamics here to get this right. I really enjoyed what I played. I enjoyed the look and the feel of the game. I think there's still a lot of questions about how it's all going to come together, obviously, but there's just so many unknowns still. And the game is still, you know, like 10 months away. And I think that that's plenty of time for them to tweak some of these things and potentially fix it. I wanted them to show more than they did.
That's the problem, is I feel like no matter how many times they show this demo and explain this demo and let people play this demo, until it is, hey, everybody, it's a 3-hour long demo. Here you go. Play through it, or we're starting you with a multiple of characters to go through and see it. It's going to be the same thing of, well,
yeah,
it feels this, it doesn't feel that. Like Ultimate Alliance, there's an expectation with an Ultimate Alliance game, right? That I'm going to fucking break crates and get gold, and I'm going to sit there and grind like a moron. A Crystal Dynamics Avengers game should be slam dunk, out of the park. You see it, and you're like, fuck, I can't believe what I just saw.
That's my biggest worry, is from everything that I've seen and not being a Destiny person.
Mm-hmm. It's
part. I'm kind of torn, because part of me...
I hate this Destiny comparison, by the way. Like, I don't think it fits. I don't like it. I don't think it's going to be.
But I think it is.
No,
I think
because
that's
there's
the problem.
Nothing in Destiny that's like you have to go in and do this entire campaign by yourself.
But that's fine. But
that's not Destiny's DNA.
But I think it's more about the gear and the loot, right? Because like their interface is Destiny.
Well, but no, Destiny has handcrafted guns that you can use across all classes. Here, the weapons are tailored to each specific hero because it fits within the Marvel Universe lore. They were very clear about that. So when you're chasing loot, you're chasing, you're chasing drops for your specific character, not for any character.
I'm saying more like the gameplay style of like how they're going to keep people coming back. Like for a long time, and
like a live service game.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that the intention?
No, I think that's a very valid question, and they aren't being clear about what the end game looks like yet.
Because I think it looks like that, and they don't want to say that.
Well, I think they're trying to also still figure it out, right?
And
Which is not a good answer when you're 10 months out.
I mean, I'm sure they know internally at this point, but
no, I'm with you. You know, and like the thing that I kind of confronted Scott about when we were doing our demo and we were in the Q&A was like, why are you showing me this really cool Captain America gameplay, but then you're trying to also tell me that he dies in the beginning of the game? I got really upset. I said to him, I got mad. I was like, I don't appreciate you trying to lie to me or pull the wool over my eyes and be like, Captain America is gone, we're gonna do a big memorial for him, he died in A-Day, but then you give me a gameplay demo and tell me that he's one of the core gameplay people. So like obviously he comes back. I'm like,
they're showing you different suits for him in the videos,
like,
and stuff.
Like,
oh yeah, I'm sure you put all this work into a guy that I see for 10 seconds.
Why was this the choice? If you're gonna come out and be like, we have this cool narrative with A-Day, why would you let me play Captain America's gameplay then?
See, that intrigues me from a story perspective, because it's like you get to play him before he dies.
Yeah.
Right. And then it's like the question, obviously he's going to come back, but how? You know what I mean? Like, that's what's interesting to me of with where we're at with Marvel lore, where the MCU story is as mainstream as you can possibly get. This game needs to do something unique and different. And from what we've seen, the A-Day stuff, it is cool. It's such a cool premise. And I'm like, when I saw that trailer, I'm like, all right, like, I'm kind of in for this. But then seeing the gameplay of it, I'm like, we're not going to get much of this, are we? Like, I don't think that, like, the way that prologue goes is going to go for 10 hours.
Oh, God, no. Even, yeah, no, right? It's the open gameplay as the guys. Here we go. It's all gone to hell. We're 5 years later. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, and that's... Is that the extent of the story? I'm worried that it is. Like,
What do you think?
I'm worried that the extent of the story is a bit... Like, there's that prologue. Maybe we'll get one more, like, middle section, kind of. And then we'll get an ending. Like old Twisted Metal games.
Oh, no way, dude. I think they'll tell you a story. I mean, it's Marvel games. And go ahead and time code this in data right now. I'll eat my words.
Yeah.
I definitely think you're going to get a story. You don't bring
We got a story in Twisted Metal. Think about Twisted Metal Black. Think about this.
Okay, I'm thinking.
The whole point of playing that game was like, did you play Twisted Metal Black?
Not the
PS2 one.
Yeah, so I did with Poe for a little bit, but I don't know if
Oh my God. It's an amazing game, but the core thing is you play through each character and it starts with an intro video that is super cool backstory of this character. Then you play through a bit of the game, but the whole thing is to get to the middle. You beat the boss, then you get another story element of like more figuring out like where they're going. Then you play more, and then you get this end cinematic, and that's what made it all worth it.
So you think you'd get that for every character in the Avengers?
No, I don't. I think that we're going to get a setup in the beginning of this game. That's the prologue.
Uh-huh.
That's pretty much it, what we already saw. Then you're going to get a bunch of just... Missions,
right?
Just missions that are just doing,
what
like
Destiny
the war zone
does,
or whatever.
Actually.
Then you're going to get another midsection of this game.
Don't you think that the solo story missions are going to be the connective tissue? The war zone missions sure are going to be, hey, Thor, there's a fucking plane full of bad guys to fight. All right, I'm going. Come with me, Hulk. Right. Like, that's what that'll be. But the story should be like...
I'm just worried about how much of the story we're going to get. And I think that when it boils down, it's not going to be much. It's going to be little, like, kind of... slices that are like, well, now you have the story in between. It is the war zone. You get to play as a bunch of different characters and that maybe those bits introduce those characters, but I don't think it's going to be like a straight through narrative of playing and like having it be substantial.
See, it's funny that we're all pulling different things out of it. That again, what is the most exciting thing about this game? It's the unknown, I guess. But the scene where, like 5 years later, where Tony, all hairy, looking like Kevin, is screaming at Bruce, right? And he's like, "What is it?" He's like, "Yeah, are the Avengers a threat to society? That's the question." I'm like, "Fuck, that's a really interesting question." Like, even that's like, does that work in the middle part of your theory? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, like that's what my biggest worry, and I hope that I'm wrong, but my biggest worry is we're gonna get a hour long middle chunk that does kind of set up all these little bits and stuff. You go through some cool reveals or whatever, but then it's side missions that are kind of like, you get some VO. This thing happened. Cool. Go. And that's it. Like, it's not like
I think those
designed.
Yeah, I think what
they call Crystal Dynamics. You know what I mean? It's not going to be that.
Yeah. Yeah. Close the hero missions are what they're calling the single player missions that are showcasing one hero, are the campaign, and progress you through the narrative. I think those are going to be what we want it to be. I think that's, and I'm saying from a story perspective and a narrative perspective and what you run through and do it. And I think there's enough interesting questions proposed by the prologue already, what we've seen, right?
Yeah.
As to like, what the fuck is this game and where is it going? And why the Avengers have disassembled and they're like, there's a robot and there's like the Mjolnir's at Cap's gravesite. So like Thor gave up. Thor went back to Asgard. I think they mentioned the demo.
They said that he went back to Asgard, yeah.
Okay. That he's just chilling out or whatever, right? And then, they say that or Midgard? Doesn't matter. Midgard's Earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter. Thor is not Thor anymore. Thor left his hammer and fucked off. Is he fat Thor? Interesting. Who knows? But that's interesting. Why the ship crashed, what the technology was, who Taskmaster was working with, right? Like, we're all on the same page. That's Kamala Khan who gets knocked down, right? Like, on the carrier from the Comic-Con demo. Yeah,
the voiceover?
Yeah, well, no,
it's the voiceover. It's her.
What voiceover?
The voiceover in the trailer.
The girl who's narrating the trailer.
They say never meet your heroes.
Yeah,
that must be her.
Well, I mean, in the trailer, though, the demo, there's a girl who falls down and then goes, a boo, or she says a boo and then gets knocked down.
Yeah, that's the voiceover girl.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. Like, she's a... they're not just doing that as a fucking wink and a nod, I bet. Like, there's got to be a story there in terms of what she's doing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I hope.
I just care about the gameplay.
Yeah.
But this sounds fascinating.
Yeah.
No, I do think it's important, by the way. But more than anything, I'm like, if it is anything like Destiny, I mean, yeah, you're going to get a fairly, you know, because there will be production needed for the campaign, so you can only put so much into it, like you're saying, but then it just opens up, you know, and then what? And what's the grind, if that's what it is? How does it work, by the way? You get multiple Thor's hammers to pick up until they're
good. You get, like, Iron Man gauntlets and shit like that. It's weird.
So it's not, like, ability points. Most of the drops are gear pieces that, like, go into your suits.
That's what I was going to say. Do you get materials? Or do you actually get, like, things
Kevin,
to put
can
on?
You, I didn't bring my computer. I'm an asshole. I'm sorry. Like, if you go to the Avengers...
That's the part I care
Play
about.
Avengers on Twitter, they've been putting up videos. And there's a video that the one we saw, them, like, scrolling over. And it literally is Destiny UI. Of them, like, scrolling over with the circle cursor.
Like, armor and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And, yeah, because I would have assumed that, like, you got ability points scrolls. And materials and stuff, and that's how you upgrade your tree, have one suit and thing? And
no.
You know,
well,
yeah.
You do.
Like,
you have,
Hulk, what's
you
Hulk
have
pick
a cosmetic
a
suit. Well, exactly. That's one of the... That's, like, why it's a weird thing for this Threads. Game to have that kind of shit in it. Like, that's when it's like, I don't understand how that's going to play
Hulk,
out.
You've got
that's why I wish they would
kit.
Have showed us a little
it's
bit of the...
You unlock costumes by playing. Costumes are cosmetic only. You get gear. Gear comes with perks. There are going to be gear sets. Yeah, there's a skill system. You level up, get skill points.
What's home gear?
I don't
hairdo?
Shorts.
I don't understand.
purple
fingernails?
Shorts.
Your fingernails are
sorry, Kev, that wasn't
Hulk.
Good enough.
That's on me, not you. Your questions here are the thing that concern me overall the most, where it's just like, what would I want from an Avengers game from Crystal Dynamics? I would want a Tomb Raider game. That's what
and
I want.
And that's my thing, is like, you ask, what do you want from an Avengers Crystal Dynamics game? You are not getting it.
Exactly.
Period.
But then, there's another question I have, which is like, okay, cool, it's Destiny-like, it's like this games as a service, it's all this stuff. I'm not into those games. If there's anything that can get me into those games, it's the fucking Avengers. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But it's like, at what point is it going to be the definitive thing that's going to do that? Or where it's just kind of trying everything and not succeeding at either.
Yeah.
And like, that's the biggest worry I have.
The one kind of thing that I'm taking a little bit of comfort in is that Scott made a point in his presentation to say, We've seen a lot of live service games come and go since we started production on this title. We've had a lot to look at and a lot to learn from, and we're trying to look at what everybody else is doing and bring some of those best practices into how we're developing the live service aspect of this game, because, you know, they started development on this game probably 5 years ago, and so they've been able to see Destiny run from start until now. You know, they've been able to see Rainbow Six and all of these other games, right, that are live service games, and go, how do we take the best of what's out there right now and adapt it to the project that we're working on? I think we all would have preferred if this was just a single player experience.
Yeah. Fuck yes.
Right? But like, you know what? That, I get why that feels wrong or foreign for the DNA of the Avengers, right? Like, it's a team thing. Like, they're a group. And so the idea of playing co-op would also be really fun. And like, having to do that does seem challenging. And they're trying to wrestle with how the best way to do that. I, like I've said on Twitter, because I've been getting a lot of shit for defending the Avengers. They're like, oh, she's just shilling Square again. Because yes, of course, I worked with Square at PAX.
Oh my gosh, chill.
But I was just like,
I can't believe it.
My thing is, I'm like, Tim, I love the Avengers. I want this to be great. I want this to be amazing. I love what Crystal Dynamics has done. I think that they can nail this. They just need to really, like, tread carefully with their partnership with Marvel and go, how is this tug of war between honoring Marvel lore and this crazy history with all these characters and also getting the gameplay right? That's going to be the challenge for them.
Yeah, I think for what it's worth, like, the easy answer would be to do what you said, is take the Tomb Raider formula, somehow get some co-op and singular experience, and by the way, it was great, I platinumed it, I'm done. But I do like, and it's very hard to do, I don't think many people have done it right, I've liked where modern games have taken these evolving games as a service. And it doesn't even have to be a game as a service. I look at a game like Control, which I don't know if we'll talk about again today, but like, having mods and like upgrade paths, and not that games like God of War don't have this and stuff, but like, there's something to grinding for that stuff. Yeah. And certainly in a shared world and showing off what you've got. And actually, I think it's very hard to do that, but the fact they're trying to do it is very interesting to me. We just haven't seen, because you guys played the introduction, basically, from what I can hear. Mm-hmm. That's not a great way to show it off, unfortunately.
And that's the thing is,
they're holding back.
Leaving it after playing PAX, right? I think the one guy I didn't call out is Cap. I love playing as Cap. I thought Cap was a lot of fun. Throwing the shield, slamming people down, awesome.
But he's dead.
I know. We'll never play as him again, obviously. It's the idea that I didn't come away, and I can't tell you why it's great. There's no, like, what was amazing about it, right? However, I'm still excited for it. I still liked what I played. I still want to see more. I'm still cautiously optimistic. I just worry, is it a game? And this is so literally, I've had the little ice cream, the little spoon they give you for a sample. Yeah. And then I saw a video presentation. It's like, awesome. Is this able to get out of the 7-5? And not that that matters. Yeah. Swimming in sevens.
You said you're cautiously optimistic. I feel like I'm cautiously pessimistic.
Yeah.
About it. And I want to be optimistic.
I feel like at the very least I'd have fun with this game through the story mode.
But that's Marvel Ultimate Alliance.
Fuck you, sir.
The fucking Avengers.
Fuck you, sir. Marvel Ultimate Alliance is way more fun beyond the story mode. I'm on my third playthrough of it now, all right?
So you're telling me it's even better then. That's scary.
Yes. I'm telling you. I mean, a small ice cream scoop versus the 60 hours I put in Ultimate Alliance 3.
Yeah.
Like, we haven't played this game yet. Like, but I love the speculation.
Yeah.
I will try to, actually, I might go, what's the next game we're talking about?
Gears 5.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to get my computer. I'm gonna come back and be part of the conversation. But I want to try to find the screenshot I'm talking about. Because it is Destiny's UI down to the banner on the character's fucking name.
Interesting.
I'll be back.
Get a paper and a permanent marker for something, maybe. Andrea.
Yes, Tim.
You and I have been playing Gears 5. Oh, and you too.
Yeah, right? A few hours.
Yeah.
How far are you into it?
I'm still in Act 1, so okay. I'm just in the beginning. I can't remember which chapter I'm on, but just started it. Obviously been busy with life shit and been out of town, and I cannot wait to keep diving into the story and to get into Horde mode with some friends. Just booting up the game. Blown away by how beautiful this is on Xbox One X. Just the graphics are
high
phenomenal.
Production. Beautiful engine.
The team at the Coalition did a great job. So far, everything I've been playing is great. The VO work is awesome. I really love this, where the story is going. I actually really enjoyed the story of 4 and the new characters they brought in. Obviously, it's not wasn't the the best in the Gears franchise, for my personal opinion, but I thought they did some really interesting things, and I like where they're going with this one. And I just really enjoy the Gears gameplay. I think the gunplay is super satisfying. Is it innovative? Not really, but it's polished. And if you're not going to do something dramatically different, the polish has to be perfect. And I haven't run into any snags yet.
Brian?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't played Gears seriously in a while. I feel like I've dove into all the main campaigns, like, just a little bit. But this is the first one that I've dove into in a while. I'd say that if it was like, oh, man, like, I really want to play this. And I really want to play it co-op. I haven't had the chance. Have you guys?
No,
yeah. I've been playing it solo.
That above all, I think it's really designed well
for
that.
They recommend you play co-op, three players.
Yeah. The AI does a pretty good job of picking up super fast, which I like. It's like actually no friction. It's so fast, you're like, it seems almost unfair, but frankly, it's not
annoying. Turn the difficulty up.
Yeah, no, I forget. I normally would play it on harder, and I maybe actually. I think I am probably. If whatever you can turn it up to that's not insane, I'm playing it the harder.
It does get more difficult.
So I love
pretty
that.
Quickly.
But the production value on just, by the way, I think it's on Real Engine. So when I said good engine, what I meant was the use of it and the implementation. I mean, it is smooth. And I'm playing on PC, but I imagine on Xbox One X, if not even the Xbox One in general. It runs great. It looks amazing. So it's very cinematic feel. But what I like, you know, probably the most is just, the moment-to-moment gameplay. Like, feels really good sticking into, you know, the old duck and cover, which is an old mechanic, but it feels good. Your weapons feel good. Your nades feel good. The inventiveness of the weapons and just... you know, when you hit enemies and the way they explode, like, those are all the little things that matter. You know, like you're saying, how did it feel when the camera angle was on Thor and it came back to you? And if the camera's too far and the way that it shakes and all this stuff really matters. I feel like they nailed all of this and the particles in the atmosphere, you know, in it. So far, super stoked. It also didn't feel cheesy. I know Gears in the past could feel cheesy, but so far it just feels really... cinematic and tons of fun. I can't wait to play a co-op. It's going to be down the road after some other games.
Yeah. I am not a Gears guy at all. The previous ones never have really grabbed
me. Yeah, I'm surprised you're playing this, actually.
Even shooters, I don't hear you talk about that
often. I'm at the very end of this game.
Oh, exciting.
I fucking love it. I cannot believe how polished this game is, how great it feels, how perfectly paced the entire campaign has been. Like, I can't wait to finish it off, and the entire... Every single step of the way, I feel like when I want to be fighting someone, I am. When I want to take a break and like kind of get some story missions, I am. When I want something crazy and unique to happen, it just gives it to me. Like, I love that this game reminds me so much of a mix of Uncharted 4 and Lost Legacy, where I know that I'm missing a lot story-wise by not knowing every single thing in the past. Like, we all often talk about how Uncharted 4 is so great, but... It really relies on the like pulling the heartstring moments of the first three to like hit you. Lost Legacy, I feel like, is a lot more condensed. And obviously, it's a lot more condensed, but it kind of has those big moments where you hit the open world areas. And it's not quite open world like Horizon, where it's like go anywhere, but it's like you're in a bigger space than you're typically used to in this kind of linear style game for all intents and purposes. This game kind of perfectly balances. Okay, you're in a hallway that you're just trying to like go through and mow people down. You're in the monster closet. Now you're in a bigger area that you kind of get to explore, but it's not overwhelming. But there are side quests if you want them, but you don't need to do them. But if you do
them,
I haven't
even got to there
yet. It's going
to
be cool and fun. It's like that stuff's great. But what I really, really appreciate is in addition to those things, which I feel are pretty typical of these type of games, is the addition of moments where you're kind of just walking and you're not pulling your gun up. Like, it reminds me a lot of, like, the... I don't even want to spoil it for people that haven't played the Lost Legacy part yet. But there's one moment where, like...
Oh, come on.
Cinematic stuff happens.
If you haven't played Lost Legacy yet, Uncharted...
There's, like, the elephant moment is so great. And it just changes the gameplay up so much where you're kind of... You're still in control and you're going, but you're just taking in how cinematic it all is and the story. And this game has about four or five moments like that. That, like, you're walking through towns. You're, like, going through areas where... You're taking it all in, and I'm like, I don't know these characters. I don't know their backstory, but this game's doing such a good job of telling me and explaining their connections and all this where I'm like, I care.
Yeah.
Like, I'm interested.
Yeah, the cinematic direction's really good.
But also the writing. I think it's like they did a really good job of knowing that this game is going to be a lot of people's first Gears game and kind of just being like, hey, we're going to make this for the fans, but also make it really clear, make it an easy to understand, tight story. From beginning to end that matters by itself without the context of the others and anything that you need to know. I mean, this literally starts on a previously on Gears. And I feel like that does a good job of just being like, here's what you really need to know.
Let's get to it.
But it moves on fast. But what I think is brilliant about that is, and I think the most important about this game, the most important thing about this game is that it is the definition to me of what Xbox Game Pass is capable of. This is the first time we've seen Xbox Studio, Game Studios come out and be like,
I can't believe it's on Game Pass.
We actually have something that is a AAA, great, critically acclaimed title. They did Sea of Thieves before. They had Crackdown. They had all these things where it's like, cool, a bit more niche, whatever. This is one of their premier franchises that people can get for $1 a month, $2 a month with all their deals that they have.
Yeah, to start, it's crazy. It's That's a good point.
Insane. And I feel like it's just such a good value. And they didn't change the way the game is designed from a gameplay or from a production standpoint to kind of adapt to that. But I do feel
it's like just a game. It's just the game.
It's a Gears game. But I feel like they changed it from the perspective of understanding that that's going to bring a lot of new people in.
Yeah.
And I think that that is the key to Xbox's success in the future. When Halo Infinite comes out, it better be an amazing game for Halo fans and an amazing game for new players. And like, they got me with Gears. Like, that is crazy. They got Tim Geddes with Gears 5.
Yeah, you know? I would have never thought.
Yeah, it's high up on my Game of the Year list so far, based on campaign only. Like, it's a great time, and you said that it lacks innovation. Play a little bit longer. The one thing that I want to talk about that I think is amazing, and anytime a game can nail this to me, I'm like, I really want to give it credit, is there's a vehicle in it. You get this skiff eventually, where you kind of have this like sail. You're on this like
I think I've seen something trailer or something from,
and it's how you get around the larger areas. For making sure that it doesn't feel like, I just need to get over there, but it's going to take forever. But it's also not fast travel. It's like you're still going through these beautiful areas, getting the lore as the characters talk to each other.
It's like the God of War robot.
But it feels unique. Yeah, it is like the God of War robot. But the way that it controls feels good.
Really?
Anytime something feels good in a game, it's like, oh my God, Spider-Man swinging, we talk about the Leviathan, we talk about like the Warthog in Halo. It's so complicated, but the moment you get it, the moment it clicks, you're like, oh my God, I love the way that it bounces and you get the physics of it. This is the same thing. And I haven't experienced that with a vehicle in a game in 10 years. I don't know. It's like, playing through it, I'm like, there's a learning curve. Unique.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it was horses in Red Dead for me was the last thing that felt like really, really well done.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because like you play it and maybe for the first minute, I was just like, oh my God, I don't get this and I don't really understand how the sale's going. The moment that it clicks, it's just like, holy crap, they did something new. Like, that's really, really cool.
And it's fun to do, obviously. And that's fun. What changes it, you know.
The story's
it's
not cool. Just guns are cool. Feels good.
How's Rahul Kohli?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Voice acting, obviously great. Rahul is fantastic. He's such an asshole. His character, Fox.
Just like real life.
It's not like real life at all. And, like, that's what really kind of surprised me. And, like, his kind of character and his story is really interesting and seeing how they all kind of work with the different characters. There's some like truly shocking moments for me in this game. Like characters die and I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, I liked them so much. Like, that sucks. Die at the right time. It's going to be about 10 hours.
Okay.
Maybe 8 or 15. 9.
Yeah.
No, definitely not.
Okay. You're in your menus too much.
Yeah. It's four acts total.
There's no menus. Okay.
Each act has like four or five chapters.
It's OBS settings.
Except for the last one.
Ain't that the truth?
That's dope.
Yeah, the final act I'm in is shorter, but it's more.
That's awesome.
You're pretty sure you're done, though. Nearly.
I know I'm near the end.
Well, there's also like a ton of collectibles that, you know, a lot of people forget about in the Gears campaigns. It's funny because like even in the first chapter, I'm walking through being like, I bet you if I go over there, I'm going to find like a cog tag or something. And I'm just like, not this playthrough. I'll do that on another
one.
I got too much to do. But
It's also worth noting, too, that just like if you haven't played Gears before, especially with this one, but just the way that you can play, the style of which guns you're using and you want to play up close, it's quite different. I mean, they got everything from, you know, you can go pull a turret off of, you know, its tripod and like take it into battle and those really super heavy guns. And then they have your skill of your robot and stuff as well, which is a really neat addition.
Yeah. So there's this, you have little robot friends that kind of change throughout the game, but they have different abilities that they can go and stun people. So you can fuck them up, or they can go and kind of distract others, and then they have these ability trees. But it's like when I first saw that, I was like, oh God, here we go.
This is going to be
this. It's a friend thing, friend. Not a tidbit.
Yeah,
but it's like you get the skill points at such a good clip The best thing about the game is the pace. It never lets up of making you feel like you're doing something right and rewarding you for playing, and I love it. I love that element of it so much.
I think it's such a great hallmark of an action adventure versus an RPG, because the RPGs intentionally slow you down for the grind, which can be really frustrating. But this game just like no, we want you to have fun the whole time.
We want you to feel powerful. We want you to keep going, and we want you to be interested in things that are happening and not kind of forget of like, wait, why am I going there? Mm-hmm. And that this game never lets you do that, but it keeps you satisfied as you're going through. And there's set pieces, and I want to talk about one in particular that is really early on in the game, so it's not spoiling much. But there's this moment where you're going through this really like fucked up city, and you end up in a theater.
This might be the moment I was going to bring up.
Yeah. So you're in this theater, and like outside is fucking chaos. You're waiting for a ship to come and pick you guys up. Like, you know, we got to get off this planet. Like, we're so screwed. And you're in this theater, kind of going around, and all the lights are off in the theater. Like, the electricity's out. And then all of a sudden, like, you have to turn electricity on to open a door that allow you to go out, and the ship's going to pick you up. But when you hit the switch, all of a sudden the stage lights turn on, music starts playing.
Okay, wait, I didn't do that.
And you're in this theater, and it, like, wakes up the locusts and stuff. They all come start running at you, and you're on this stage that's inspired by the Hamilton play. And it's like, there's music that's inspired by Hamilton.
Xavier Woods tweeted this out, and I don't know Hamilton, but he's like, I see you, and I watched, and I'm like, I don't get this reference, but I know this is cool.
And the like the stage is spinning around, and like there's all this stuff happening as you're fighting this like boss.
That's
and
cool.
The music all of a sudden is not like just the low orchestral score of Gears. It's like this cool fun stuff.
So
there's like
contrast.
DJ lights going off as you're fighting, and I'm like, I'm playing on an Xbox One X, so it's absolutely gorgeous. But it was just such a fuck yeah moment. And like there's a couple of those in the game, and
It just sounds fun.
Very surprised at how amazing this game is.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's funny. The one I was thinking of, I put a clip on my Twitter. What's going on?
Is this Xavier's video? Yeah, sorry. You want to show it to him? Is this what you're talking about, right?
Wait, is this a spoiler, though?
I mean, this is kind of spoiler.
Okay, then don't do it.
Game is out like 2 days ago. Yeah.
I don't want to see it.
Everybody had an Ultimate Edition.
You can look away. It's not a huge one. I'm super sensitive to him, so I'd look away, but anyway,
I wouldn't show it. It's too soon. It's too soon.
It's not a spoiler.
I mean, even explaining the battle kind of makes me be like, oh man, I wish I could have just experienced that without you telling me about
it. This is the nice part about it, though. Whatever you think, the safest thing is probably don't show. And you can go to what? Xavier Woods Twitter. Find it very easily. I'm sure you can find it if you want it.
Xavier Woods PhD. Put some respect on it.
Yeah, give him a follow. So, it's fine.
What I was going to say is it was super binary, but early in the game, there's so many diverse set pieces, and that's what I wanted to bring up. And I got into some area, and it was like a little flooded, and lights were really dark, and it's the first time you encounter these like half organic robot thingies, whatever they are, with the big red light. Anyway, just the enemy type
Ultron looking motherfuckers
popped up out of nowhere and started chasing me down, and it was beautiful. Chased me into this dark, watery hallway, and I couldn't see in the lights, the red lights and beams going into the hallway. It was just the vibe of the game, and the fact that it's not all gray and brown and green, which I think it's easy to picture Gears, and you're like, oh, that's kind of what it looks like. It's bloody and it's black and brown.
Yeah.
And it's very diverse set pieces as far as I found it. Just keeps putting you into somewhere interesting, like you're describing.
I just want to say, by the way, most spoilers are only spoilers when people say they're spoilers. Otherwise, they're not.
If some people
don't call you out, then no one would have said it.
Some people are. You're right.
That's
you're right.
Not how that works, Tim.
It 100% is. No. You can look at the history of
the
shows.
The reality
and you'll
is,
see that it
a spoiler
is
only a spoiler to people that it's a spoiler for. What I mean by that is you're going to argue about it because, like, it's different. Like, for me, it is a spoiler. But for you, it's not. You know what I mean? Like, whatever.
The fact that you played as those characters in Avengers, that's a spoiler.
Well, in other words, what I like to bring up, maybe only 5% of your audience finds this spoiler. I personally like to protect those 5%. And it's not a big deal because it's only 5% of your audience, but how much do you care about them? That's all I'm saying. Anyway,
I think that you telling the story was pertinent for you to express how impressed you were with the job that the Coalition has done, right? Mm-hmm. I just didn't think we needed to go the stuff further and show it.
Yeah.
Right? That's all.
Anyway, if you guys want to debate that, cool. But all I want to bring up, too, is if I didn't, is the fact that this is also cross-buy and cross-play is also crazy good for Games Pass. But, like, if you buy it, right, you own it on... You can play it on PC. You can play it on Xbox One X or Xbox One.
And the Gears performance stuff on PC is utterly insane.
It's
where
beautiful,
the ultra-wide monitor
I haven't played it in that. I bet you that's dope. It's beautiful on PC, but the fact that you can cross play too, right? You can play, right? I believe when you hop
I don't know
into
about all that.
I believe
but you I got it on Xbox, or I got it on PC just to see it on my Ultra Wide monitor. Sure. It's freaking insane.
I'm pretty sure, like, you're playing on Xbox, I'm on PC, we can play.
Yeah.
And also, I own it on both, so I could also hop to my Xbox, go to my TV. It's a crazy value. So, really job well done. And you said Game of the Year contender, huh?
Wow.
One of my Game of the Years.
Yeah.
Games of the Year.
Yeah.
I still think RE2 is above
it. Oh, yeah, me too. Yeah. Very impressed. Can't wait.
Can I throw one thing out? First off, the UI not released yet, so you'll have to take my word on it that it looks like Destiny's. You remember. I'm not wrong, right? You saw it. You're a big Destiny player. The circular thing moving around, like, to
maybe
select.
I don't remember this specific thing exactly. I probably would have noticed if it looked like Destiny.
Yeah, it was the gear stuff when they were showing us the gear stuff at the end of, like, gauntlets and shit.
Gear on the right and left?
Well, you know, it's like they had, like, you know, they're selecting the Iron Man gauntlet, and, like, it had the circle and had the banner up here with the name.
Maybe just the inventory sounds like it might be like.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. I'll give you that.
Because meaning just for when you said it, I was picturing Hulk in the middle and
pieces of gear with an emblem up top.
But it sounds like there's square items or something
selecting.
Yeah,
you're moving your things over
and
there.
And it's got like a similar feel to it, which, you know, for those types of games wouldn't surprise me.
And again, long from being finished.
Yeah.
Before we talk about our next game.
May 15th, 2020, I think.
Yes, that's right. Let me tell you about our sponsors. This episode of Kinda Funny Gamescast is brought to you by Upstart. As most of us have found out the hard way, getting into debt is easy, getting out is hard, especially if your FICO score isn't great. Thankfully, now there's Upstart.com, the revolutionary lending platform that knows you're more than just your credit score and offers smarter interest rates to help you pay off high interest credit card debt. Upstart really could have helped Greg Miller out when he was making his travels over to San Francisco for the first time from over by Chicago many, many moons ago. But Upstart wasn't around then, so he didn't get the help that he needed. Upstart goes beyond the traditional FICO score when assessing your credit worthiness. They actually reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter interest rate. Upstart believes you're more than just your credit score. They believe in you. They make it fast, simple, and easy to check your rate in just a few minutes without affecting your credit score. And the best part is once the loan is approved, next business day, you're set to go. Over 200,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards, student loans, fund their wedding, or to make a large purchase. Free yourself from the burden of high interest credit card debt by consolidating everything into one monthly payment with Upstart. You can do that and see why Upstart is ranked number one in their category with over 300 businesses on Trustpilot by going to upstart.com/kindoffunny to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate is only going to take you a couple minutes and it won't affect your credit. That's upstart.com/kindoffunny. And also, shout out to Hims. You've heard Andy talk about it. You've heard Nick talk about it. You've heard us talk about Andy and Nick talking about it for so very long. But 66% of men start to lose their hair by age 35. They knew that, so they were like, we got to figure this out before it gets too late. The hairline slowly starting to move backwards is a bad thing. The moment you start seeing that, it might be too late. You would have been much better off by going to Hims, checking them out. 4hims.com is a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, and sexual wellness for men. There's no snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements. These are all prescription solutions backed by science. Hims was created by a guy who knows some men's health conversations are easier online than in person, and this really makes all that stuff perfect and easier. Listeners, you guys can get started with the Hims Complete Hair Kit for just $5 today, right now, while supplies last and subject to doctor's approval. You can see the website for full details and safety information. This could cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or a pharmacy somewhere else. You can go to forhims.com/kinda. That's forhims.com/kinda. forhims.com/kinda. Now, Andrea.
Yes.
I want to talk about, Brandon, can you say the name of this?
What? Creature in the Will.
Thank you.
All right. I said it earlier, and I don't know
and
why.
And it got me.
Now
made me laugh.
Like, I guess I have to say it.
So Andy talked a little bit about this a couple weeks ago, but what are your impressions on Creature of the Well?
So I 100%ed it last night.
Ooh. Really?
Yeah. 100% of this game.
Are you flipping out?
Flipping out, what do you mean?
Kind of,
you
know, pinball.
Brandon loves pinball, if you didn't know. That's a real thing.
Oh, it's the mechanic that attracted me to this game, and I've been playing on my Switch. Papa Genda, of course, gave me the code.
My wife is a co-founder of Papa Genda.
Thanks, Jen. But it's only $14.99, so it's a very affordable game. It's relatively short. It's like 5 to 6 hours, I would guess.
How long did it take you to 100%?
Well, what I didn't realize, I thought it was minutes counted in what I posted, but somebody told me it's hours and that it counts it when your system is in sleep mode. Mm. Yeah. So if you have the game suspended, but it's in sleep mode, it counts it. So I guess I do have 201 hours that I had suspended.
What a gameplay experience.
Well, because I've been playing it on the airplanes as I've been flying for the last couple of weeks. So I took it home to Fargo with me. I took it to PAX. And so I've just been playing it on the airplanes. And I really loved it. It kind of has a couple missteps, but overall, it was such a fun game that I felt compelled to completely finish it. And the really challenging part that I had is that the final gauntlet kind of ramped up pretty spectacularly in difficulty. And so I kind of went through each of the levels. So for people who aren't familiar with the game, you play as a robot engineer called Botsy. And you kind of just like wake up in this sandstorm, don't really know who you are, where you're going.
It's a rude baby.
And you follow this path to this mountain where you go inside and you meet this like Philip Frog guy who's like mopping the floor. And you're like, oh, I've got to go in and try to figure out what's happening because the storm is surrounding this town.
Kinda like,
and
the idea
is that this creature has taken over the machine that keeps the storm at bay. And so you have to beat the creature back to turn the machine back on to clear the storm from the town, like free the people. That's like the general premise. And so you get little tidbits of lore throughout each of the dungeons. So it's essentially like a dungeon crawler in that sense, top down. The art style is super cool. It's kind of got this like, I don't want to call it cel shaded. Yeah, it's like hand drawn, like almost comic booky in a way. Like I really like it. It's a super cool looking game, and the music is really nice too, because you're in some of these dungeons quite a bit as you're going through some of these puzzles. But the basic mechanic is that you have a weapon that hits the pinballs, and then there's a variety of different bumpers and things that make up the puzzles. So you have a charge weapon and a slice weapon? I can't remember the power weapon. I have to remember what the other name of the other type is. And so one essentially pulls energy from the ball, and then you can shoot the ball, and then the energy fills all the bumpers and things in the puzzles. Mm. And then they add different mechanics with each dungeon that you unlock. And then each dungeon kind of has a theme, where all the puzzle rooms kind of use the same mechanics. You get to build on your expertise as you go along. So it was really rewarding in that sense, that I felt like I was getting more powerful, upgrading my Botsy, finding, you know, hidden paths with better weapons. And so I felt like I was more prepared as I went along. And then there's a point in the game where it unlocks like three dungeons at the same time. And you don't know which one you're supposed to go into. I guess if you look at the overall map, you could kind of deduct like which one you should have gone into first. But I didn't do that. I was just like, oh, I'm going to go into that one.
Adrian is like, Leroy Jenkins!
Pretty much. And I went in there and I immediately noped right out of it, because I walked in and I was like, I am not ready for this. There was way too many obstacles. I was like, I'm going to die immediately and turn around and walk back. And so I like the balance that the game presents with challenge. I never felt overwhelmed. I felt pleasantly challenged, where I'm like, I can figure this out. I can do this. There's somebody somewhere has figured this out, and I can do it too. And it's rare that I come across a puzzle game that strikes that balance so pleasantly, because a lot of times it's like rage quit inducing. It's like, this is too hard. I don't want to look up a walkthrough. I'm just done.
Well, especially because it's like an action puzzle game.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
So it's like, even sometimes when you figure out what the puzzle is, like,
you have to execute it.
Executing, sorry. Like, I only played it at GDC, but
right. I think that's what Cuphead really was, right? Like, it's this action puzzle game where you have to kind of memorize these patterns. And it's like, even if you know the patterns that the boss does, you have to execute it.
Yeah.
And that's like the challenging part and rewarding part for players, or the incredibly frustrating part for players. And so I really liked how it ramped up and how you can go back. They do give you the option, if you have enough energy from grinding certain puzzles and not passing it, that you can still unlock new areas. So if you're like, listen, this puzzle just has me right now, I'm not going to complete it, you can skip some of them and keep progressing forward. And then you can come back and unlock it later when you feel either like a little bit more confident, or you're more powered up, or you have a different weapon, you think that'll be better. And I like that it gives you the ability to do it. I wouldn't call it Metroidvania in that sense, because it didn't feel like there was enough exploration to justify that term. But it does feel like they intentionally made certain puzzles hard in order for you to leave it and then come back.
Cool.
Unless you were just like, your Twitch reflexes are off the charts, then you got it on your first try. Good for you. The only misstep that I'm kind of like left with like, oh man, that kind of sucks, is that they build up this really cool narrative with this creature, with Botsy, and who the engineers are, who these people in this town are, what are you even doing here? And then they kind of just like leave it hanging. At the end, there's like a resolution, which I'm not going to spoil for anybody, but there's also like this, but I wanted more. Like, I wanted to like do all of these different things that I can't really explain without spoiling the end of the game, but I was like, oh God, I was so in love with this game. And then you kind of just like, oh, that's it? That's how it ends?
Wait, was it the story element or that you wanted to get play more to finish it?
Well, I mean, I obviously would love to play more, but I mean, this is a super small team.
Mostly even just the story side of it.
Yeah, but this, okay, the story side specifically kind of just like left me wanting more. Not in like a sequel? Oh, this was so good, I can't wait. This was like a, it didn't feel resolved enough for me. And I had even tweeted to Balran, I think his name is, one of the two guys in Flight School.
Bo? It's Adam and Bo.
Because he had responded to me because they had this cool graphic that they were going around showing that I never saw in the game, like this like gameplay clip that they used in their promotional materials in the trailer, that I never ran into, and I was really looking forward to coming across this moment in the game, and then it just never happened.
What was their excuse?
Actually, Cowards. I don't know if he's responded to me. It's hard because like
dodging you.
Now it's under all of the mentions from Games Daily today, but yeah. I'll try to find it. But overall, I thought this game was super fun. I loved playing it. I loved going after the collectibles. I loved getting all the secret rooms. And the pinball mechanics were super fun. And the takeaway I have is it gave me that sense of accomplishment that I got from Celeste. Walking in going, this is going to be so hard, this specific room. I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to pass it. Because it is that you screw up, you die, you go all the way back to the beginning, and you have to do it again. And I am happy to say that it rewards you enough that you can do it and you can get through it and it's not impossible. So it was really fun, and it's like I said, it's only $15, and it's on Xbox, Switch, and PC, I believe. So
sounds right.
Real quick, before you guys move on, I've also played most of this game.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really enjoy it, which is funny because at first, starting the game, I was like, "Oh, this is dumb. I don't like these mechanics." And then, like an hour in, I was just like, "God, this is a lot of fun." But like that last last boss fight.
Yeah.
When you have to go and like fight all these, like there's, you have to make like a walkway.
The little fire things, you mean?
No, like the walkway thing that you have to open up.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And, like before you go into the last, what I'm assuming is the last battle.
There's like a bunch of rooms in there. Spoilers.
Oh really?
Yeah. It's not easy.
But I got it. It's hooked
to you.
You're on Switch.
Yeah, I'm on the Switch.
Yeah, so I played
like
this.
That made it way, like, that's way harder than.
No, and it did. And yeah. I got really, and I was talking to you about this. I was like, I got to that last gauntlet and it felt like the difficulty spiked really abnormally.
Yeah.
It's like, I felt like it had a really nice cadence of like, this is harder, this is harder, this is harder. And then you were progressing and it felt like, you know, a normal. But then the final battle just like was off the charts. I probably spent a third of my total time playing this game just doing the final boss fight.
Oh wow.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
You're also really good. Like I've definitely been playing for more than 5 hours.
Kev, you're the GoPro. You'll get it.
You'll get there, Kev. So you, anyway, you 100% of this game.
100% of it, yeah.
Wow. Greg, how close are you to 100%ing Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3?
Let me tell you, Tim Geddes, I've been on a lot of planes. PAX,
yeah.
Dallas, mm-hmm. Chicago, oh, yeah. SF in between there. You know what I mean? Every time I sit down, I turn that fucking switch on. I'm like, ooh, Astral Chain. Oh, Creature in the Well. And then I'm like, you know what else would be fun? Wow. Grinding the same room over and over again in Marvel Ultimate Alliance, trying to get my entire roster to 100. I'm having a great time.
Yeah.
What a fucking game that thing is. You know what I mean?
How much do you have left, do you think, till you hit that 100?
Oh, my God, so much. I mean, like, I have multiple characters at 100.
Okay.
That's not it.
But the goal's getting all of them at 100?
And then, yeah, doing all the Infinity Rifts and finishing off the final hardest difficulty. Yeah, the hardest difficulty, not bad. The Infinity Rifts, I'm going to need to find select users from the Kind of Funny Best Friend community that also have 100 characters, because the AI is just too dumb to help you out in some of the scenarios. I need, it'll be easier with people. But I'm just sitting there grinding, man. Did an entire flight back from Chicago. Delays, no big deal. Just sitting there, just grinding, using that switch, the Switch Fix. Sitting there with my pro controller doing it. You got to get that Spider-Man black suit. It's up there in the hundreds. You got to get up there. You got to do it.
You're addicted.
Yeah, I am addicted. I love it. Just like it reminds me a lot of you with the Smash Spirits.
To Smash Brothers. Smash Brothers 5.0 dropped. Not going to go too long. Just as long as you did there. The Sakurai came out last week. Talked about after the Direct. Ran through Banjo. Banjo's out. You mean you played a little bit. Super fun character, obviously. Yeah. Really awesome to see Banjo along everybody with the music and the stages and all that stuff.
Spiral Mountain.
Yeah. The cool stuff, like they added home run contest back to the game, which now makes it pretty complete feature-wise compared to the other ones. It really is the ultimate Smash Brothers game. The most exciting news is they're like, after this DLC pack, there's more coming. Sakurai, this morning, actually did an interview with some Japanese magazine. He was just like, I'm not going to stop until it
Because Banjo was the last of the announced
We knew there was, so of the Challenger pack, we had five total. He was number three.
Oh, he's
so we knew by February we had two more, but they announced that even after that, we're getting more.
No, I know. Yeah. So they
and now today he was just like, we're not going to stop until like somebody tells me.
I think they even said, they're like, who do you want to see? Right? Like we're going to
keep cashing those checks.
Keep going, man. Keep going. I can't wait.
It's amazing.
But yeah,
Banjo's a great character.
They announced Terry coming as well from SNK and all that stuff. But the most important thing to one Tim Gettys, besides Banjo being added, they added more spirits, ladies and gentlemen. Did I get them all? Yes. Yes, I did. I am now at 1,345 spirits. Did one of those spirits that they added require you to play Dragon Quest XI? Yeah,
what?
It did.
No way.
But they also give you the option of playing the demo.
Okay.
So
it's only
the demo for free. But yeah, still
play it for two
process.
Seconds, or what you have to do?
That's all you have to do. You get pretty much your
game. How many hours do you put into Smash right now when you go to your little thing?
No idea.
I want
no
next.
Idea.
That's your homework. Okay. Next Games Cast, I want you going your little.
I don't think it was that much. Honestly.
Sounds like
total. I want to know your total hours in Smash Bros. So
my problem with that is the majority that I've played of Smash, I think, with my friends is across a bunch of people's different.
No one's gonna judge you. Don't worry. We just want to know: are you a real gamer? Are you a fake fucking gamer?
I have 1,345 spirits, Greg.
I've never seen one of them.
Wow. Wow. Anyway, great time with all of it. I love what they're doing with the DLC.
Banjo
so much love.
Kazooie,
so much care.
Poop grenades.
Latui.
I just think
there are the poop grenades.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love you, Brand. I love you so much. Andy!
Are they really throwing
get
around poop
cute little ass over here. Let's talk about some Borderlands. So you can take my chair for this bit.
Okay.
We're just doing the Borderlands stuff.
We're just talking about Borderlands, Andy.
Really? We're talking about Borderlands?
I guess so. Yeah, you're hosting.
Let's just go home.
Dude, I just want to go home and play Borderlands, Andy.
Yeah. It was a game that took me a while to sort of start up because I just kept finding excuses like, all right, I want to go to bed early, but I only have this amount of time to play Borderlands, right? And I kind of want to
Borderlands
like,
3, by the way.
Yeah, Borderlands 3. I was, you know, it was one of those nights where I was just like really exhausted. We had done like quite a bit of shows yesterday, and then I started it up, and I didn't want the night to end, Greg.
I tell you what, man.
I did not want the night to end. Yeah. Who did you go? You rolled Flack.
I'm Flack, yeah. Who are you? Right.
I put out a poll because I didn't want to.
Twitch superstar over here, Andy Cortez.
I'm trying to go for like. I wanted to pick the player that not a whole lot of people are picking.
See, I like doing that too, but
it seems like Moe's,
it's pretty split.
Moe's and Amara were the lowest in my poll that I put up. So I rolled
Amara's Sirens. She's gonna be fine.
Oh, I rolled Amara. Yeah.
That was a mistake. No, I'm just kidding.
How dare you? That's gonna be my main.
Everybody plays Amara. That's the point.
Who'd you roll last night?
Zane, of course.
Okay,
stuck with Zane, man.
Yeah, Zane's abilities are really cool.
They're awesome.
I thought Zane would have been the lowest on this poll. I don't know how many. Let's check the poll, Greg. Let's check the poll.
Go ahead. While Andy does that, I'll bring you all up to speed. Of course, we all started Borderlands 3 except Andrea and Tim last night on PS4. Andrea's getting ready to move and finishing Gears. Our Borderlands 3 PS4 codes came in yesterday. We got those on there. It's been covered on the show. Obviously, reviews are up all over the place for Borderlands. We didn't do any official review for Borderlands, mainly because they sent that weird Epic PC code thing where you had to like not even log in with your real Epic account.
Yeah,
use
an Epic account. Yeah,
no, thank you. No. You didn't use your Epic account, though. You used a different Epic account.
You just logged in. It's not a big deal.
I understand that you use the Epic account. You have nothing attached to anything, Fran. You don't care. Creator code, Fran Mirabelle. I'm saying that you want to have your own fucking profile, your own save data.
Yes, you do. Well, you want to carry forward. And I agree with it. Like, you may not carry forward that save data. That's the real news, which, whatever. We're lucky to be able to play it early.
100%.
But it sucks for people.
But luckily, like, we're not the traditional review outlet. And for the record, of course, Fran and I are doing the Borderlands show. It's kind of funny production going up on YouTube.com/BorderlandsGame, Twitch.tv/Borderlands. First episode September 18th. We'll talk about that later.
Yep.
So yeah, we were. I was just like, if I'm playing this game for 6 months at least, with Fran and everybody else, I want PS4, so I'll wait for retail. And I did, and started it last night as well. So here's your poll, Kevin. You want to throw that up there?
I mean, it's
close. I would have thought you would have gone Moe's. I actually, of all the I've played with all the Vault Hunters in preview events, hers was like my least favorite gameplay.
Moe's?
Really?
Yeah, Moe's. I just didn't like how the mech felt when she was in her super. And like, you want to feel powerful and good. And maybe that's because I just hadn't leveled it up enough or what have you. But
yeah,
this stomping around inside the mech, I didn't like it.
Kind of like a so lumbering. I do understand that you are more protective, but everybody was like, Andy, she's basically in a Gundam, dude. I was like, yeah, but it doesn't look like it. It also just looks like a mech warrior sort of style mech, which, you know, that's
a lot of people are into Moe's.
Well, you go back. I want to show Andy's character. Andy put out a.
So Amara had 19% of the vote.
Look at how good his Amara looks. Are you fucking kidding me right now?
So, you know, I already unlocked one of the different, like, head sort of things.
Yeah, we got the special edition whatever code from 2K. So, like, it's got a whole
bunch of stuff. You can unlock a different head, a different skin or whatever, and then you can also
customize the different colors. First and secondary colors of things as well.
Tertiary as well.
Yeah. That's traditional. Yeah, that's traditional.
Yeah,
the heads and all that stuff. I last night got to level 10, and no spoilers, I got on the spaceship that you know is going to be your HQ. Yeah. Basically what I did is I played through all the stuff Andy and I played for party mode and not Proving Grounds, obviously, and then got into space. There's my flak right
there. You look like a Houston Outlaws fan. It's an Overwatch League team.
I was trying to make it look more like, and cool. I'm aware of that, of course. Don't worry about that. I was trying to make it look Mizzou-ish. You know what I mean? They don't have a good gold, so I wanted that, like,
whatever. Oh, it just looked green to me. I thought it was neon green.
My tertiary.
Remember the episode of Party Mode when we were trying to be Superman and you were just like purple and pink?
I don't want to talk about it. All right, can we not talk about it? All right, don't worry about it. I'm not good with the colors like you. We can't all be perfect.
I've just been thinking about the game all day. I just want to keep on playing. I had hit a stopping point.
Yeah.
And then decided, like, well, you know, it's only midnight. Yeah. Let me do this. So, of course, I went back in there and I got up to like around level 8 or so.
Yeah.
I'm about the same area you are.
Let's get in there, night doggy dog. Let's tear it up. Come on.
I can't wait. Yeah, see, the gunplay feels super great.
Yeah, it really does. It runs great on PlayStation 4.
That was my biggest thing I wanted to throw out. I did. Oh yeah, pro me too.
We all played pro, right?
PlayStation 4 pro. Yeah, I wanted to do two things on that front. Number one, I had gone over to the Kind of Funny subreddit and was talking to kids there, and there was a thing about like how weird the review policy was in terms of this whole PC Epic thing or whatever. And they were like, should we be concerned? For two different reasons. But the reason that applies here was me being like, well, everyone should be concerned. Yeah, like it's concerning when you only get one platform to review on, and what's going to happen. Is it that something's wrong? Is it because it was an Epic deal? Is it because they're just working at the last minute, which also isn't great? I turned it on last night being like, what's going to happen? And I was fucking floored how
apparently
well it ran.
Because there was an Epic deal. That was once you were going, I thought the same thing. I'm like, I guess, because this runs amazingly.
It ran so great. I was like, there was a longer load, I thought, in the front where Claptrap was like running back and forth between on the screen. But like in game, when I'd be like, all right, fast travel me back to the car, it was like, poof, you were in the car. And I was like, holy shit, that's fucking awesome. And Tim, I need you to come here right here.
This is important.
Come right here. I know. Well, let me do this. This is going to be 2 seconds. What I want to do is tell you, I started Borderlands. Nothing's going to happen. I started Borderlands 3 last night on my PlayStation 4 Pro. It's the first game that ever popped up. And it's like, do you want to turn on the HDR? Do you want to do all this stuff? Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah.
My fucking man, dude. LGOED, let's go.
Perfect segue, Greg.
So fucking beautiful.
Did you do performance mode or...
Thank you. Resolution.
I did resolution.
Oh, you gotta go performance.
You gotta go performance.
Boom. Change it.
Yeah.
Only because every frame possible.
Wait, hold on. I might have done the other
performance is 60 frames.
Yeah.
And it is noticeable.
I think I did performance. Because I didn't care about the resolution. I wanted it to run the best.
It's interesting, though, because I
did performance.
I don't even notice...
Depends on the kind of game you're playing.
I didn't notice the resolution change. Yeah. I didn't notice the resolution really changing. I noticed is the text.
Insane, Andy.
No,
you do notice.
Well, remember...
I'm not insulting. I'm just saying it's like...
When I played Red Dead 2 in 4K on Xbox One X, I was like,
you could smell
this
the
is crisp as fuck. Yeah. This one, because of the style of game, because of cel shaded, because there's not a lot of like bump map textures, it's a lot of just drawn in textures. I didn't notice a huge change in the visual fidelity, except for the font or the UI. Mm-hmm. The UI gets crisper, of course, which is weird because a lot of games, whenever like Control, for example, Control doesn't run in 4K on PS4 Pro, but the UI is in 4K.
Oh, yeah, interesting.
And so the UI looks really, really crisp, but the gameplay is not.
It looks great.
It looks great in 1080p, and it fucking, you know, with the high frame rate, it's fantastic.
Yeah, I don't know what it does with resolution mode versus performance. Sometimes it is a total downgrade, but sometimes, right, the game's real time. Only when it needs it, it renders it at lower resolution. So, like, who knows? I'm not sure what it's doing.
Yeah.
Tell us in chat by the time this comes out. But it looks right. Yeah. I was super impressed, you know me, with the frames. And I got to about level 4 because I was streaming for a bit, and then I had internet trouble. I just got back from Texas last night from the Borderlands event and all these canceled flights.
Yeah.
But hopped in, played a level 4. I was just really impressed.
You got back from the Borderlands event like in June or what?
Yeah, exactly. That's how long it felt that way, Andy.
But yeah, I can't wait to play more.
Feels
of course,
good.
Take it all with a grain of salt. Like we said, we're doing the Borderlands show or whatever.
Yeah.
But like,
I'm not doing the Borderlands show.
Like, I'm not.
It looks great, guys. Borderlands is
fun. You know, I just always want to put that out there. It's like we talked about in the We Have Cool Friends they haven't seen yet or whatever. Like, if you're listening, if you've made an hour and 39 minutes in, if you're a Patreon person, I'm sure you trust us not to be in fucking pockets of anybody. And worth pointing out, because we haven't talked about the other thing, Borderlands show, like we said, September 18th. But more importantly, the Borderlands show, the key ingredient, the first thing, what happened with the Borderlands show, right? 2K noticed at E3 that a video they made about people just talking about Borderlands outperformed a lot of other Borderlands content. And like, maybe we should make a Borderlands show. And they said, who makes good podcasts? And they said, oh, kind of funny. And who likes Borderlands? Oh, kind of funny. And they approached us. And the first question I had for them when they wanted us to do it was like, cool, you know we get to say whatever the fuck we want. And they're like, oh, yeah, totally. So like, I know, again, grain of salt, you believe what you want to believe, but like, if it ran like shit, we were going to say it ran like shit. And if it was going to be, we'd say it on the show. We'd ask Paul Sage about all these different things.
I'll say one thing, one immediate thing I definitely don't like about it. I even noticed it during the party mode. It was like, I hate when it's dark and the enemies are so hard to see. For example, when I play Apex, every enemy has a different shader on them where they are not accepting the world's lighting. They are a little bit more lit up to kind of make them more noticeable. Mm-hmm. In the game, the enemies, if you're in a dark area, it's like, I have to look at my radar to see being shot from? It's really, really hard.
You're playing on the computer monitor though, right?
No, I'm playing on my...
it is
4K.
Your TV?
Yeah.
Okay.
For me, did you get to... you remember the VR mission we did in the party mode?
Yeah, I skipped that this time because I fucking hated it.
I'm like, oh, I still hate this. It like hurts my eyes.
I mentioned it. I'm editing the episode right now when we recorded it like several weeks ago, maybe a month ago. And at the end of it, I was like, we got to end this mission because my eyes hurt. And I got to that part last night. I was like, I'm skipping this shit because you're essentially in a VR mode. No. You're in VR mode, and there's like CRT scans, scan lines popping up, and everything's kind of blue, and there's all this weird shit.
Yeah,
and it just physically hurts to look at. Like I was squinting the whole time.
But yeah, night one in the books, like I'm so in. It's doing what I want. I can't wait to play all weekend.
Yeah, if you played Borderlands 2, like it's true. That's what the reviews are saying as well. Like you should expect it to feel a lot like that, but like there's more modernization of it, and it's really smooth. The gunplay is really smooth. The guns are a lot of fun, and it just feels good to play it.
Get to the point though where like I put a podcast on. I don't give a shit about what's being talked about. Don't really care about the characters or. There are some interesting people, but
I really like the Calypso twins. I thought when they debuted them at the reveal event we did, I was like, oh, these are the first bosses. I didn't realize they were like the whole thing of
me
the game.
Too.
Like, oh, all
I
right.
thought they were going to be sort of a mini boss attraction, but no, they're kind of like the main baddies. I found myself when I hopped back in, I was like, oh, it's not too late. I was just like, let me put on a podcast and take down some people. Yeah.
That's interesting because I would say Borderlands has a reputation for it's just hard to follow the story. There's people talking while you're playing.
Well, you're playing with other people, right?
And granted, I streamed my way through Borderlands, and so that added to it. But I've talked to a lot of people that had that. I actually feel with 3 so far, and again, I've only played for whatever, an hour, 90 minutes. I don't know. It felt a lot smoother to me. Like, I understood a lot more clearly what was going on, headed, and I just felt, it felt more cohesive to me.
I agree with
I understand.
It was good to see Ellie. I really liked that scene we were talking about, no spoilers, with the Calypso twins, basically where we both left off last night. Like, well, okay, cool.
Yeah, I don't find it as compelling as, like, Handsome Jack when I played 2. I thought he was a really fun character that I wanted to, I wanted him on screen all the time. He was just such a fascinating bad guy, and, I haven't really run into an area where it's like, oh, I got to listen to what this character's saying. Because everything they say is super funny or witty.
I thought you'd like the Calypso twins because of the streamer stuff.
It's like fine.
Subscribe.
Yeah, you're a streamer, Andy. Don't you like streaming? Listen to this guy.
I'm just trying to connect with you.
We're going to talk about Borderlands a lot, both on the Borderlands show and on our separate shows on Kind of
Good
Funny.
So far.
Yeah, so we'll cut it.
Do you want me to outro the show, Tim?
No.
Oh, shit.
And that's the last ever Gamescast episode 3.
Your outro.
I was just going to say, thanks for watching, everybody. Keep it locked here. IGN.
Nailed it. Nailed it.
There's
Nailed
the perfect Andy outro.
Let's wrap on Andy, everybody. Good job, Andy. See you online today. Let's go home.
Gotta love that. No, got a couple write-ins today.
What?
For Andrea's final show.
Aww.
Yeah, it's a lot of nice little things
All
here.
The hate mail. We finally have it coming at
Airing of grievances.
Bring it. Let's go.
Shoko writes in and says, what's up, everybody? I don't really have much of a question. Just wanted to wish a fond goodbye to Andrea. Best of luck in the future. And don't forget to give Gary his pizza when he wins his bet.
He's never winning that bet.
What was the bet?
So it was me, Barrett, and Gary talking about a bet on if they're going to announce the release date for The Last of Us Part 2 at this media event happening at the end of the month. And so we all guessed on dates, and Gary's date was in January 2020. And I said, Sony doesn't release their tentpole games in January. It's just never going to happen. I picked Friday, April 24th, 2020. And Barrett picked a date in March.
No, February, huh?
Valentine's Day.
Yeah, for that that's PlayStation
that's
5.
The going rumor.
What's that?
He said February.
The going rumor's Valentine's Day area.
For release date.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
February would make sense, too, but...
I think it's going to be February. That's my prediction. Yeah,
I think they're going to announce February, and then it'll be delayed.
Kick it to April.
Smart. Mark Freeman writes in and says, just wanted to say, Andrea, you've been amazing on Kind of Funny. We'll really miss your voice on Kind of Funny and hope to see you back soon. Wishing you good luck in LA. Sure, you will do amazing things.
Thank you.
And then the nanobiologist writes in and says, Andrea, with you leaving, what is some sage advice you can impart on all of us besides subscribing and listening to What's Good Games?
That's a lot of pressure, Andrea.
Some sage advice.
What's the first thing that comes to mind? Just let it out.
Be nicer to people in general, maybe. It's tough because like I've taken so many questions over all the shoots that we've done today.
You're on like episode 5. Your wisdom fuel gauge is like
exactly. It's already tapped out. Want the best for yourself and the people in your life. You know, push yourself to greatness and be proud of everything you put into the world. And if you're just going through life, like going through the motions, discover or rediscover like what will make you happy again. Because if you're happy, then the people around you will be happy.
That's sage advice.
That's good.
Nanobiologist, I'm sure, will appreciate that. But he does have one more thing. He says, I'll miss you and I hope I get to meet you at a future event. But before you go, Kevin.
It's mobile game or bullshit. It's mobile game or bullshit. Jared's gonna read some stuff and we'll figure out if it's over me or not.
In celebration of the latest Kingdom Hearts DLC trailer, I bring you mobile game or Kingdom Hearts Keyblade. There are some that are both.
All right. Some?
Wow, okay. Where's Alexa Ray when I need her?
You know what? I'll tell you right now. One is both.
Okay.
One is
fair.
Both.
There's one daily double. I love it.
We have 7 mobile games or keyblades to name for you 3 fine people, okay?
Ready.
Let's keep this one kind of quick.
Sure.
Okay.
Fran,
okay.
You're first.
Okay.
Does it have to be a keyblade?
All right.
Remember, we'll go this way and then that way.
Pardon
and then
me
this
for
way
caring.
And then that way.
Okay. Yes. Number one, and thank you, nanobiologist, for this. It's fantastic. Number one. Destiny's Embrace. Is it a mobile game or a Keyblade from Kingdom Hearts?
Wait, who's going first?
You!
What? You never said that. Anyway, mobile game.
Thank you.
You didn't say I was going first.
Mobile game. Also, would you believe that I always thought there was just one Keyblade? I didn't know there was multiple.
Number two. Darker Than Dark. Mobile game or Keyblade?
Oh, fuck. I fucked up. I meant Destiny was going to be a Keyblade. Can I switch it?
Is it always
two-way?
Going in the same
yeah,
order?
You can change.
All right, cool. Sorry, everybody.
Is it always going to go in the same order, Tim?
It's going to go like that.
Darker Than Dark, I'm saying, is a mobile game.
Mobile game.
Keyblade.
Wayward Soul. Is it a mobile game or a Kingdom Hearts Keyblade, Greg?
Okay. I thought I was going to be trying that one. I'm going to say Wayward Soul is, in fact, a mobile game.
I did fuck that up. Number 4.
Wait,
I got all messed up. Andrew.
I'm gonna go mobile game.
Both.
I thought both for this one.
Thanks, Kevin.
Okay.
Fran, I'll start.
So now
I'll
start with this one, Fran. Path of Orchards.
Mobile game.
Keyblade.
I'm saying mobile
game. Come on, Greg,
game.
Speed it up.
Okay. Fair. And I'm going to start with Fran again here. No. Well, to add up, so it's fair.
The pressure.
Lost Memory.
Dang, that might have been the one that was. Keyblade.
Both.
I'm Dang. Saying both here as well.
Dang, man. I know. That one feels like it.
Greg.
Yeah.
Wheel of Fate.
I am saying Wheel of Fate is... Fuck, that would have been a good both, too. Fuck, I want to say mobile game.
I'm going mobile game, too.
Keyblade.
Number 7.
Sir?
Number 7.
Do you want music for the last one?
Number 7, the last one. Lifeline.
Ooh.
Who?
Who's Who is that? I don't know.
I don't remember anymore. Fran, go.
That one's probably both.
Mobile game.
Keyblade.
I'm going to say mobile game.
Okay.
Man.
You can keep it, Kev, as we...
I've never just randomly guessed at anything more in my life.
Yeah, you did a good job with this, man. This is great. Number 1, Destiny's Embrace is a Keyblade from Kingdom Hearts 2.
Dang, Andrea.
Both me and Andrea get a point.
Number 2, Darker Than Dark is a Keyblade from Kingdom Hearts 358 over 2 days.
Fran gets it, just Fran. The score is 1-1.
Wayward Soul is a mobile game.
Yeah.
Andrea and I get a point.
I blew it.
That makes it now 2-1.
Number 4, Path of Orchards is a mobile game.
Damn it.
Yeah.
I got it. Fran got it.
Greg
the score
lead.
Is now 3-2-2. Me.
Yep.
Number 5, Lost Memory is a Keyblade from Birth by Sleep.
Damn it.
Fran got it. And we...
Well, you said both, so you're wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. You can't guess both if it's not, right?
Yeah, correct.
I think we did it differently.
Otherwise,
in the
I
would
have guessed both every time.
Will you,
so it's,
will you cross
call.
That out?
That's a good call, right?
I'm sorry, thank you. It's going to get confusing.
So we got
so
both,
Fran
got
and I are tied with 3, Andrew with 2.
Yep.
Number 6, Wheel of Fate.
That's a Keyblade, baby.
Is both a mobile game and a Keyblade.
So nobody
3.
Gets it then.
You got it. Same
difference.
We're
going to
say nobody gets it. The way we played this one is you had to get
them. Points wise, the same effect.
So 3. 3, Fran and Greg. 2, Fran and Andrea.
Okay, here we go.
Uh-oh.
So if I get this, we tie.
Yeah.
Then we have to go to sudden
death. Oh, don't worry. We have 2 tiebreakers.
Oh! Yeah, we have to have a tiebreaker because either way, unless... Yeah,
shut
either
up.
Way, it's a tie.
Number 7, Lifeline.
Yeah.
Is a mobile game.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. It would have been more fun
Greg
if I'd won that one.
It four,
I agree, yeah.
Greg
sorry,
Fran
it's not professional wrestling, though. You know what I mean?
Okay, okay, okay.
The 2 tiebreakers.
Do you want to do
no
one
other
and one?
Boths that we have to worry about, or are there?
There are no other boths.
Okay. Here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Can we get Fran a pen?
What? Why?
Okay.
I think okay. Not that you would,
so,
but
yeah,
I think
I
it's
like
funny.
This. I
like,
know where you're going with this.
Who revealed what? Yeah, yeah. yeah.
So you don't know what the other chose because is that what you're
yeah,
getting
exactly.
at?
Yeah, sure. Exactly.
So I'm gonna say them both to you right now.
Oh,
think
you were,
about
okay,
it.
Okay.
I'm gonna say both. There's
there's 2 guesses in a row here.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Fatal Crest. Fatal Crest.
Uh huh.
Okay. You guys have your answers down?
Oh, sorry.
Now, here's my.
First. Don't say anything yet.
Yeah, I have not put my answer down. I'm sorry. Hold on. Let me do it. I'm putting my answer down right now. Fatal Crest. Okay. I think we should do it. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
One by one, right?
Sure.
Because
okay.
if you
sure.
do 2, what if we tie? We split it and break, you know,
yeah,
fuck
yeah,
it
yeah.
keep going.
Yeah.
But yeah. Okay, okay, okay.
We'll still do the last
Let's
one
do
for fun.
Fatal Crest. Go for it.
I said Keyblade.
I said Keyblade. Crap.
Shit. It is a Keyblade.
Oh, we're so good, Fran!
Next one.
The final one we have. Winner's Proof.
Winners or winter?
Winner. Winner's
like
Proof.
Like winner, winner,
yeah,
chicken
okay,
dinner.
Okay, 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 okay.
Is that possessive and is it
That's a great
after,
question.
Is it multiple winners or one?
One.
It's not possessive,
one,
it's winner's
it's,
proof.
It's possessive.
Oh, it is. Winner's
yeah.
apostrophe
yeah,
proof.
A winner's, yes.
It's rather important, everybody. Oh God!
You ready?
Nope.
Pick an answer, Fran.
Ah, wait, this is, stop talking to me. Winner's Proof. Oh man, I'm gonna pick
Five,
up Winner's Proof
four,
on the mobile game
three,
store.
2.
Yeah, I hate you all. You ruined my guess.
Dang it.
Tim, are you ready?
Yes. Go for it.
I said Keyblade.
I said a Keyblade too.
It is a Keyblade.
Damn
it! It is a Keyblade.
See, I knew that was a trick one. That was a lot of pressure. He tried to trick us.
Hold on, I can look
I
up.
I got
can,
one.
You got one? Okay.
All right, number 10.
Number 10.
He's taking me all the rounds. I like it.
I'll put you through the ringer.
Frogger.
Union key.
Union key?
Mm-hmm.
Union key.
Done. Five. Four.
Frack! If they both get fine, right, I just want to be wrong.
Oh, thank you, Kevin. I like that.
Nah, no speed to the game.
No, that's great. That's a good way to do it. Otherwise, we're here forever, friend.
Yeah, I already guessed. You're wasting time. Come on.
Go.
I said mobile game.
I said mobile game.
Damn. It is. It is, in fact, the Kingdom Hearts mobile game.
It's a Kingdom Hearts mobile game.
It's a mobile game or bullshit. It's a mobile game or bullshit.
You heard the judge. The judge from Peru said very clearly.
You didn't see when I wrote it. You can't prove that I didn't have it.
Sooner. He's got video.
He was done.
You didn't know what I wrote and when. You jackal.
He said he was done.
Jackal.
He hits it. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the final Andrea Renee Kind of Funny Games cast. Thank you very much for your services. For the last year? That sounds about right. Or actually, no, it's been about six months officially.
Yeah, I think it was like April.
You were the Jared, like,
yeah,
replacement.
Wow. Some change.
Us here are kind of funny. You know what I mean? They come, they go. Where's Jared Petty?
My
now?
Favorite is like when there was this year where somebody put all it together and they're like, Kind of Funny's game of the year discussion is like, who's going to be the defense of the dark arts teacher?
Yeah.
They had a screenshot of one person
so
leaving.
So fucking funny. I love it. Well, thank you, Andrea. It's always a
We're
pleasure
miss you.
Having you here.
Thanks
at,
for having
we love
you guys.
You, this table. Leave something nice about her in the comments below. And that's it. Don't comment about anything else, especially not video games. I
Imran
love you.
Will be here next week.
Probably. Yeah.
What?
The new cast Imran? Member is Imran.
Oh, Imran, yeah. He'll be here next
week.
Yeah,
been following, cool. And he'll be here
Her
next
body's
week.
Not even cold yet, guys. All right, calm down.
I'm still here, Fran. Jesus.
Frandria will live on forever.